Blog Talk Radio.
But it ain't his record. But it ain't his record. He stole from somebody else.
Taking it from the top.
Hell yeah.
Tippy. It's all more people.
Sing it, daddy. Sing it, daddy.
Hey. I kiss the sky, sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. Who the fuck wanna die for they culture? Stomp the dead body like a vulture. The Calgon, blacker than your blackest stallion.
Hit up,
your
y'all?
Project
good afternoon on a Saturday,
my nigga.
Scott Burks coming at you with the Clown Hour. For those of you who do not know, I'm the author of the Source Blog, The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with K. And you can find us on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also find us on Facebook. I have a Facebook page devoted to the blog and all of you fans to comment, interact, and talk all the shit you want. But at any rate, just go to Facebook.com and do a search for The Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with K. And you'll be able to find us there as well. This is a special one. It's a special podcast because, given the fact that this is NFL championship, conference championship weekend, NFL playoffs. Both games featured, featured rivalries of sorts. You know, in the New England and Denver Broncos game, you have two rivals and quarterbacks going at it. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You know, Brady pretty much practically owning Manning throughout the majority of their careers. And I believe, just off the top of my head, that Tom Brady is 11-4 against Manning. But I'm focusing on the other game because not only is it a good old-fashioned divisional rivalry rematch, but these two teams are similar. Two teams love to hit. These two teams love to run your ball down your throat. These two teams also like to tell you how they're going to do all that and still do it successfully. And best of all, both these teams hate each other. So, so that's that. So my man, Cedric Hall, who is a big 49ers fan and also a Bama Crimson Tide fan, will be joining us shortly to tell us more about that. And also, So right now, as we wait for him, I just go ahead and just give my two cents about the matchup. This is perhaps my favorite matchup of the weekend because, like I said before, both these teams hate each other. They're built similarly. And, they both are very successful at what they do. They're both actually, I believe, the best two teams in the league, which is a good thing that they're in the same division. Because we get to see them go out at least twice a year, instead of waiting for that big Peyton Manning and Tom Brady matchup. But anyway, without further ado, my man Cedric is on the line, so let's bring him in. Cedric, what's up, brother?
What's
How
going
you doing?
On, man?
Yo, I'm chilling. Thanks a lot for joining me, my man. Thanks a lot. I know you have a lot to say. I'm ready for this weekend, my brother. I have been looking forward to this since last week. I mean, granted, I grew up in North Carolina, so I had a little bit of a soft spot when the Niners played the Panthers. But, in a big way, I'm glad the Panthers did lose because I wanted to see the Niners and Seahawks go at it, and I know it's going to be must-see TV. And, I know there'll be plenty of bruises, plenty of blood, plenty of shit-talking. I love it. So, as a 49ers fan, do you think this is the next great rivalry in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the course of the last few years, what's transpired in this matchup, Seattle has a great record. They have a great defense. They have a young quarterback that can win games for them. They got a hell of a running game. So, and then, you know, they play hard. So, you know, for the majority of the time that I've been a 49ers fan, we've pretty much dominated the NFC West. So,
right.
You know, they the new kids on the block, man, and they backing it up. So, yeah, it has become a great rivalry. You know, with the last two, three seasons,
right.
Two teams have made the playoffs to come out there, NFC West. So it's becoming a premier matchup.
Yep, and you know what I like about it is, you know, it seems like rivalries come and go. You know what I mean? It's like they come, some stand the test of time, or some at least threaten to stand the test of time, and some just go away because either one or both teams start to suck, and then the luster tends to rub off. I think that, you know, being a Steelers, so I appreciate this a lot. I think this is the NFC's version of Steelers Ravens, you know, similar to the 49ers and Seahawks. Both like to pound you, both like to impose their will, both like to tell you how they're going to do it, especially Baltimore. And I think Baltimore is very similar to Seattle in that regard, because Seattle and Baltimore, to me, have the most shit talkers on their roster in the whole league. And, you know, the 49ers and Steelers, they're two franchises that have like, pretty much been there, done that. And
right.
they're both in their own ways are doing it again. This past year, notwithstanding, but at any rate, do you think that because San Fran and Seattle are on the West Coast, that the rivalry hasn't picked up steam as of late? Do you think it should have picked up steam earlier because they're a West Coast team?
Well, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, because you know a lot of times on the East Coast you don't get those games.
Right.
You know, because in NFL, the way the television markets work, I recently moved, you know, to Dallas. So I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to remember what game it was. It might have been when we played, the last time we played, played them. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. So when we played them in December, they didn't show that game here locally.
Mm.
I think they showed the Bears and the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing.
Oh, wow. I think we got that game, too, by the way.
How can that game not be the game of the week? I don't understand it.
Right, right.
So,
I mean, we're
in Dallas, so watching
right.
the Bears and the Packers. So,
yeah,
you know the way the NFL. Well, it's not necessarily the NFL. It's the local television markets that pretty much decide, you know, which game will be showed. So,
right.
Quote,
unquote, regional coverage stuff.
Right.
You
so,
know, like.
You know, granted, I'm sure Dallas doesn't want to see the 49ers. They want to see the 49ers beat up on the Seahawks, even though it was a close game. And one thing, you know, I've noticed too, well, everybody knows when playing in Seattle is much different than playing these guys in your home place. You know, because
right.
we played those guys the first of December, you know, first weekend in December, well, second December the 8th, actually. You know, it was much different than we played them, you know, opening the season. Granted, you know,
right.
Crabtree wasn't.
You guys got killed.
You know, we didn't have Crabtree. Anquan was, you know, that was what his second game playing for. So, you know, a lot has changed since the second week of the season. But the thing about the Seahawks is, when you play them at home, you need to really, you have to come to play and not let them get, you know, jump ahead on you. Because if they get out, get the plan, get the crowd behind them,
yes.
Get a lead, you know, you pretty much, you can hang it up. Now, one thing I will say about last weekend when they played the Saints, they really had the Saints been able to capitalize on a few opportunities, I think the Saints could have won that game. You know, they played them hard. So we'll see. Maybe we'll see some of the things the Saints did in our game plan. But I guarantee you this is going to be a head banger.
Yes, sir. And you know what? Speaking of the Saints, I'm not going to get too far off topic, but was it Marcus Colston? The fact that he inexplicably threw the ball, like lowered the ball ahead of himself when he could have stepped his ass out of bounds, giving Drew Brees one more shot from the 37-yard line for a Hail Mary, it would have been different. Who's to say what would have happened, but it would have stood for a better ending, but that's not a here nor there. But I just can't believe the bonehead in such a place in that last game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a boneheaded play. You're right, it definitely was a boneheaded play. I mean, if you're going to make that play, definitely make sure, you know, the guy that you're throwing into isn't ahead of you. Now, granted, calling that play at that time, I mean, that might not have been a bad idea had they executed it better, simply because they weren't expecting it. I mean, their focus is on, you know, okay, they're going to, you know, if they do make the catch, they're getting out of bounds. So, you know, maybe if they executed a little bit better, we probably would be saying something different today than we said last week. But, I mean, the Saints had the opportunities to kind of take control of that game, and they really didn't. They, one thing I will say they did that I know we're definitely going to have to do is up front defensively, they played really well defensively. So, you know, we know we got to bring it tomorrow.
Right. You guys got to bring your lunch pail because it's going to be a battle. And I'm
It's definitely going to be a battle. You know, we've been in this spot the last 3 years we've been in this spot. So, you know, we need to get back to the Super Bowl and do what we didn't do last year.
Now, speaking of which, you know, like, you know, to your point, you guys have been there, done that the last three seasons, and historically as a franchise. But Seattle, I mean, granted, this is the second time in the spot, but this is the first time for these guys and for this coach, Pete Carroll. So given what's at stake, I mean, let's put this rivalry aside for a minute, but given what's at stake, do you think that Seattle, even though they're playing home, the 49ers will use that experience just like they did against the Panthers to their advantage, get in their heads and cause them to play out of character and whatnot, and create opportunities for themselves? So how do you see it, just from your point of view?
Well, you know, one thing I've noticed, too, over the last couple of seasons, you know, the last several times we played the Seahawks, they get up for us, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of that probably has to do with Pete Carroll, you know, because he was on staff with the 49ers back in the day, you know. So I think that might be part of it. But I don't know if these guys can be intimidated. I just think we just have to come out and play our game and not let the crowd become a factor, because that 12th man becomes a factor pretty much. Pretty much any game they play at home, that 12th man becomes a factor. The Saints The Saints didn't let it become a factor. I didn't think. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Saints let the crowd get them out of things. I think they played very well. They were composed. They made a couple plays. Not necessarily a couple plays, boneheaded plays they made. I thought the refs made some calls. I didn't really like the call, the hit on Percy Harvin. I didn't really like the call in that situation. I didn't think that penalty flag was warranted. You know, I didn't think it was head, you know, intentional head-to-head.
Head.
I just thought, you
right,
know,
right. Help
you know the guy, you I know, he pulled play. Up or whatever and, you know, kind of, you know, shoulder, the shoulder type thing. But I didn't think it was just, you know, thing where it's spearing. But, you know, that's NFL, you know, what we see, you know, you have a lawsuit going on. So anytime a play looks rough or a hit looks hard, you know, like a bad hit, they're going to call it a penalty.
Isn't that football,
you know, it happens. But I think,
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, isn't it the way, you know, football is supposed to be played? You know, I mean, you just hate to see games like this, you know, two hard-hitting teams, especially where the refs help play a role in deciding it. I mean, just let them play football.
Yeah, let them play football. I mean, you know, I just don't want us to get into a situation where we're on the receiving end of one of those 15 yards, because if you look at our season, we've had more than our share of 15-yard penalties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of them warranted, some of them not so warranted. You know, the one against us, the one when we played the Saints with the hit on Breeze, I didn't think that was warranted.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know,
right,
the one last week, the one last week where we sacked Cam Newton, I mean, to me that wasn't warranted either.
That was a horrible call. Yeah,
it was a horrible call.
They overcame it, though.
You know, I'm going to go back, you know, now I'm jumping in, I'm going to go back to last week, but, you know, the thing that I saw last week was I think the Panthers expected the same game that they got when they beat us 10-9.
Mm. That's interesting because
you know, I think, okay, whether, you know, they beat us and, you know, they're thinking, okay, well, you know, we have the upper hand and, you know, we're going to beat them again. You know, they started the talking.
I think that is, by the way, because I think they got too overhyped. In fact, way overhyped when Kaepernick said that, you know, quote, we owe them one. Because the Panthers beat them at their place earlier. But, I mean, what the hell is he supposed to say? No,
yeah,
we're going to
be
quaking our boots going under to Charlotte. I mean, come on now. Be a man.
Yeah, we did owe them one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I think when the talking started, you know, when they started the talking and, you know, of course, we were backing it up on the field and we, you know, returning they talk, then I think that got into their heads.
Oh, yeah. Y'all got into their heads big time. I mean, all those penalties you drew on them, like those sports like controversies, I mean, right off the top of my head, I think I counted at least three in the first half, four, and I think for the game, maybe seven or eight.
So yeah, you know that things where you know, we have been really aggressive on defense this season, and at times that has cost us some 15-yard penalties. So I just don't want us to be on the receiving end of a penalty and then end up, you know, they getting an easy score. You know, like they did last week with the Saints. You know, the Saints got a 15-yarder. That put them down. I mean, literally put them down in the red zone. However, they were able to keep it to a field goal. But I just don't want to see us get ourselves in that position tomorrow.
Well, here's why I like your chances. And we'll get into the predictions later in a few minutes. But the reason why I like our chances this time around, just from watching the game last week against the Panthers, I mean, granted, I think as a sideball, I think that Seattle, the three best teams in the NFL are in the NFC. I think Seattle, San Fran, and I think Carolina's up there too. You know, the thing is that the way you guys stopped Cam Newton and the boys of offense inside the 1 yard line, you know, the first time, holding them, putting the goal line stand and forcing the turnover on downs, and the second one, you guys held them to three. And, you know, and also the fact that Anquan Boldin has arrived. You know, you can see why Jim Harbaugh was so glad that his brother John was so eager to pretty much give him up for nothing. I'm serious. I mean, I'm sure that Jim just did a rain dance after a happy dance, rather, after Anquan Boldin arrived. But you see Anquan's experience coming in to play. You see that's loosened up with Michael Crabtree when he returns.
Right.
That how it's working wonderful offense and helping, of course, Vernon Davis. We had an incredible touchdown catch, by the way, that was originally called incomplete before overruled and called a touchdown, rightfully so. I think I like the guys' chances. I think that, obviously, your point your boys aren't going to be intimidated. I think that the experience of Anquan Boldin will come into play because I think, you know, whether Richard Sherman, your boy, draws either Anquan Boldin or Michael Crabtree, whoever the other corner is, better be ready. And I understand that the Seattle secondary is one of the best in the league.
Yeah, you know, I don't like I don't like giving other teams their props too often, but you know that secondary, that Seahawks secondary, they're a beast. Those guys bring it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and not saying I mean our defense isn't a slouch either, but you know those guys come to work and they play hard, they play physical. So, you know, hey, it's gonna be one of those lunch pail days, man. I'm telling you.
And that's what I love to see.
It really is.
I love watching defense. I love watching defense in the playoffs, especially when it's all for the marbles. If you will, when it's the conference championship game or the Super Bowl. So the thing is that you see in football the way it's meant to be played. So it's years of Steelers Ravens in the playoffs for those many years, and now you're seeing it again with the 49ers and Seahawks. Guys, two teams with guys that love to get in your face, with heavy hitting, a lot of talking, running the football, quarterbacks who are dynamic and won't lose the game for you. And two coaches, obviously you spoke to Carroll earlier. You know, how about this for a storyline? You know, Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll coached against each other in the Pac-12. And when Stanford ran the score on SC, way back when there was a major upset, when the infamous, quote, "what's your deal?" handshake. you got to love that, man. I mean, you got to love this rivalry, man.
Like I said, I mean, it is becoming one of the premier rivalries. Definitely probably the best rivalry in NFC, and definitely becoming one of the premier rivalries in the NFL. So, it won't be a high scoring game. You know, if you look at the times that the Seahawks have lost, you know they didn't lose by a lot of points, especially at home. So, you know, and then, you know, when I think about, you know, the opening game of the season, you know, they played Carolina in Carolina, and you know they didn't win. They didn't play. Not saying they didn't play well, but they didn't win by very many points. So I think it was like 12-7, something like that. So, you know.
Right, Seahawks, yeah.
A great defense.
And that could have gone either way.
You know, a great defensive effort is what it takes to beat these guys. You know, you just have to bring it on defense, and you have to score. You know, one of the things, the areas that has been a concern to me is our red zone production, because you know, we get down inside the 20, and you know, we end up having to kick a field goal. The offense stalls. You know, and most of the time, it's, you know, you have a negative play on first down, whether it be you know, you lose yardage, or simply just, you know, for whatever reason, whether it be, you know, just didn't execute on the play, or you know, you get a penalty, and you know, now you're behind. You're behind the chain, so. You know, we need to take care of that on tomorrow. And, you know, we got a great field goal kicker, but I would like to see us score touchdowns and not have to rely on kicking field goals so much. So that's one thing that I'll be looking out for during the game tomorrow.
Well, to your point, this is one of those contests where, excuse me, you know, granted that not a lot, but quite a few teams have come back from Clemson still like 10-0, 14-0, some instances 17-0, but that's far and few between the 17-0 one. But you know, 10-0, 14-0, a few teams tend to come back from that and you know, again, to at least get back to the game. And the game like this, you know, I think either San Francisco, Seattle goes on top of the other by double digits early. I think that the team may be forced to doing something that they're not accustomed to doing. Like because they have to abandon what they love to do, that's running a pound of football between the tackles, and you ask your quarterbacks to win the game for you. But I think that the advantage goes to Kaepernick, because Kaepernick's more dynamic than Russell Wilson, even though you know, being an NC State alum, as you know, that, you know, Russell Wilson was one of the greatest Wolfpack players, with apologies to Philip Rivers, to ever don the red and white at NC State and later at Wisconsin. But the thing is, I think that Kaepernick brings more to the table than Russell Wilson in terms of the tangibles. But the intangibles, I think Russell Wilson may have them. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that it's imperative for Seattle to actually establish one early, get Marshawn Lynch going, and hope and pray that they'll fall in a third and long situation, which is what you guys want to do. And I think it's important for you guys to get Crabtree and Bowden on track, so that opens up the middle for Vernon Davis, which I think you guys have a huge advantage on the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, I just hope we take advantage of the opportunities we get in the red zone and capitalize on those. 3 points is better than zero, but 7 is better than 3. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know,
so,
like I said, that's just a thing that I've watched over the course of the year, get kind of frustrated. I'm like, man, we have to settle for 3 points again, I'm glad we have a kicker that, has been an asset to us and able to convert those field goals. But at the same time, you want your offense to put it in the end zone.
Right. It's very important, very, very, very important. So we'll see how it goes. So before I get your prediction, speaking of rivalries, I've been hearing from SEC fans, from the championship game, because I know you're an Auburn fan, an Auburn alum, and you went to Alabama, right?
Yeah,
after
yeah.
Texas? Okay, that's what I thought. And the thing is that, the question was going around, where's quote-unquote SEC pride, from Auburn and Bama fans, saying that, other teams in SEC may have pulled for Auburn, but if you're a Bama fan, you better not have pulled for Auburn.
Man, let's go on and put it out there. Never.
Yes, go ahead.
Never. We'll never. Hey, you remember when Singletary was coaching the 49ers and he ran into the showers? Never.
Yeah.
Won't do it. Ever.
You won't do it. Can't do it.
Never. Never. Never.
So basically, did you end up pulling for Florida State or you just didn't care? You just
said Florida State. I wanted them to win. And I was glad they won.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's that.
Oh man.
So now it's we getting at them. The Auburn fans. You guys were the one. You lost the streak. You lost the BCS streak for the SEC. And then two, you were the first team to lose. The first SEC team to lose in the title game. So. We'll give them their due. They the game against us, they came out, they played well. Like I was saying a little while ago about not capitalizing having missed opportunities. We had some missed opportunities in that game. Mm-hmm. We missed some field goals. We just didn't put the game away like we should have. We had more than enough opportunity. We just, we let those guys hang around too long, And the thing about Auburn, the last two times we played them, we pretty much just cleaned their clock really good. So they were playing for pride, I think we kind of took that game a little lightly, thinking, okay, well, we have three more games this season and I think we kind of overlooked them. And then from that point, just mentally just didn't recover from that loss. And just didn't show up against Oklahoma. You know, people, you know, Bob Stoops, he has a lot to say. But however, but if you, you know, you, he can say what he wants to say, you know, thinking maybe, you know, because you have an Alabama team that really didn't show up for the Sugar Bowl. Same thing happened a few years ago. We played, you know, the first year we played Florida in 08, we played them in the SEC Championship game when we lost. You know, we didn't show up for the Sugar Bowl, so obviously, you know, we didn't play well.
That was against Utah, right?
Now, you know, I will say, yeah, Oklahoma, you know, they did their homework. They studied us. They, you know, attacked our weaknesses. However, I'm not giving Bob Stoops a pass because the record speaks for itself. You know, if you look at his record, you know, this guy, you know, BCS games, yeah, you know, he has the BCS wins, but if you look at the BCS championships, you know, we have those. So I'd rather have the BCS rings than a BCS title win than a, you know, BCS bowl game win any day of the week. So, you know, hey, it's one of those things, you know, I think, you know, people, and I tell this to people all the time, I say, you know, people get up for Alabama. Just bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, they get up for Bama. And I mean, we could be playing Mississippi State. They're going to get up for Bama.
And they did.
Because, you know, beating Bama is, I mean, that makes people's season. You know, when you look at, you know, I was ragging Auburn fans after they lost, you know, and their response is, you know, well, we beat Bama. But you lost, you had a chance to get a ring and you didn't get one. So to them, the most important thing is to beat us. Whereas us, you know, the thing that we look for is championship. You know, winning the championship, and that's our expectation. You know, people say, well, you know, your fans aren't realistic, but you know, when you're that team, and you're more often than not, you know, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say people fans are being unrealistic. When that's what their team has produced, so
right,
you know, like I said, you know, when you take down the big man on the block, you know, it's a big deal. So, now, having said that, there's been a lot of changes going on in Tuscaloosa since that game. I will say that. And, you know, one of the comments Saban made after the loss to Oklahoma was, you know, they're going to hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely changing some things up. You know, he was not pleased with the with our offensive production in the Auburn game. And, you know, he said on the sidelines, you know, we had four opportunities in the red zone, and we came away with no points. So a lot of people didn't expect the offensive coordinator to be around much longer after that. You know, I just think it's ironic that, you know, not ironic, but, you know, we had heard rumors of Lane Kiffin being in Tuscaloosa between the Auburn game and the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, that had been going around, and, you know, people say, well, you know, we always, you know, we bring guys in, you know, other coaches in, just to kind of look at our offense and evaluate things. But nobody thought, you know, he would end up being offensive coordinator. A lot of people thought Nussmeier wouldn't be there much longer. Of course, and he wasn't. So if you look at, you know, I look back to our last offensive coordinator, Jim McElwain, who's the head coach at Colorado State. You know, he was there pretty much 08 until through 2011. And, you know, man, we won a championship with Greg McElroy at quarterback. I mean, you talk about ultimate game manager. You know, people like to throw that label on A.J. McCarron, but if you look at Greg McElroy, I mean, he was a game manager. You know, got the guys in the right plays and didn't ask him to do too much with his arm. But he was confident in running that offense. So, you know, our offense hadn't really been the same since Coach Mack left. So, We'll see. You know, Saban's, he's, one thing about him is, even though he's a defensive-minded coach, he has, he's not going to let whoever come and runs the offensive show is going to do it within the confines of what he wants to do as a offense. You know, you're not gonna see us. You know, you got some teams moving to the spread and changing the offense philosophy. You're not gonna see that. You're not gonna see our offense become a liability for the defense because you know those teams. If you look at them, they score so quick. They put their defense back on the field. So you won't see that. You won't see that there. But I think what I do think is going to happen is I think, you know, we'll open up the offense a little bit more. You'll see some more, probably see the running backs get a little bit more involved, maybe in the passing game. However, but you know, the running back, the freshman that that played against Oklahoma for us, man, he's going to be a beast. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, a good name.
You know, and I was telling my wife, I said, Yeldon and Lacey, I mean Yeldon, not Lacey. I'm thinking about it, Lacey from last year. Yeldon and Kenyon Drake, you know, they've had the tendency to lay the ball on the ground, you know, this season. And you know, they keep doing it. They're gonna find themselves behind this guy. I mean, because he broke the record for most yards in a career in high school. I think the record has stood for like maybe 30, 40, 50 years. But
wow,
this guy broke the high school the rushing record for all of high school. Period.
Right.
So
gotcha. You guys got well, you guys feel like
with him, the thing with him was, you know, just picking up on the on protect, you know, on the protection, and you know, you see what he can do when he has the ball in his hand. So, you know, people say, you know, Alabama order, you know, don't count them out now. Don't count them out because, you know, they're going to, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator, made some changes on defense. So, hey, we got the playoff coming next year. We might be right back in that thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think you will, so. Let's just get you in a better mood. Your Bama this season didn't end on such a great note. Who's your pick for the 49ers Seahawks game?
And I think I sent you the post, the copy, the picture of the poster that they put up.
Oh, yeah, I got that. I need to post that. You know, I'm going to post it on Facebook.
You know, hey, that's their mindset. Like I said, you know, granted, we won the national championship last year, but after the A&M game, I mean, after the season was over, A&M was the motivating factor. They had Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel pictures up. They watched, while they were working out, they watched that game over and over and over. It played nonstop while these guys were working out. So, he knows how to motivate those guys. You know, even when they're successful and, you know, they achieved the goal last year, of, you know, they won a championship, but you know, it's a standard. You know, it's just a standard of excellence, and he wants everybody to play to the standard. Whether you know, and not look at the score. You know, it's, am I playing the way that I'm supposed to be playing? And pretty much it. So I'm looking forward to the off season. You know, we have to find a quarterback, and you know, we have some holes to, you know, we have to fill some holes in the offensive line. We had two guys. One guy went to the draft early, and then we got a guy graduating. So we got a couple of spots on the O-line. So we'll just be interested to see how that all comes together and gels together. Because that's one of the things that really, you know, our offensive line really didn't play up to the way that they've been playing the last few years. But, you know, when you lose guys, you know, we had two first-rounders, and we had – we lost three guys off the O-line last year, and two of them went in the first round, and then one, you know, which was our center, was a five-year starter. So, was a five-year player. So, you know, it's hard to replace that. Now, granted, the guys behind them, you know, are talented guys, but it takes time to gel. And so, but, we're interested to see how, I'm interested in this, the biggest thing for me next year is seeing this selection committee does. I personally think that the formula they use in the BCS for ranking the teams.
Uh-huh.
I think they should have kept that in place, and just taking the top four teams in the playoff.
Hey,
so now you're bringing in the human element of it, and it's who knows what the criteria is for selecting who would be the four teams? You know, what if you have Alabama? Go ahead.
No. I was going to say that's going to be another podcast, another stuff, and in a couple of months, because I have some thoughts on the BCS anyway. But let's just get you out of here on this. Who you got?
We'll tell you that. We'll have another discussion on the new BCS. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're going to have one.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts on that.
To me, the system did what it's supposed to do in putting number one and number two together, and that's what it did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, and more often than not, you didn't have, you know, by the time it all shook out, it was,
uh-huh.
for the most part, it was, you know, two undefeated teams for the most part, or, you know, a one-loss
right.
team. But then you had a one-loss team that, you know, they won, you know, the last time, our first championship, with Saban, you know, we were the undefeated SEC team. But when we played LSU, we were a one-loss team. We didn't win the SEC because LSU won the SEC, but we were the second best team.
And then,
of course, you know, when we played, you know, we played Notre Dame, you know.
Notre Dame, yeah.
You know, so
yeah, that wasn't
but, you know, I'm you know, there's a lot of spring ball to occur between now and the last weekend in August, you know, when college football kicks up. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about the new BCS and, you know, and how that's gonna go. But yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, tomorrow
tomorrow
I got the Niners, man. I think it's gonna be I'm thinking 28, you know, 24 type game, you know.
Yeah, I have the Niners winning. But first of all,
just because the defense is.
Yeah, I was going to say, before the season, I picked the Niners to win it all. And, of course, when I get back off that pick now, I got the Niners winning 20-17. So enjoy the game tomorrow, my man. Yeah, appreciate it. Enjoy the game tomorrow,
Stan.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be thinking of you, too.
All right, but we'll reconvene after this game, and you know, maybe get something for the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You'll be back on here. You'll definitely be back on here. I'll be thinking about your whole game. So, take it easy.
Good talking
cool.
with you.
Peace out.
All right, bye.
You got it. Bye. That was a man's scheduled call. I love getting him on tangents about Bama, on Alabama football, because that's entertainment in and of itself. I couldn't help myself because you know the whole thing about conference pride and college football, and I just know that Auburn fans and Alabama fans will not pull for each other any national championship game, conference pride or not. It doesn't apply for us boys. That's a big rivalry. But as far as the Niners and Seahawks tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome game. I'm looking forward to the heavy hitting. Shit talking, coaches getting under each other's skin. Maybe we'll have another what's your deal for the post game handshake. But until next time, Scott Burke signing off the Clown Hour. Thanks for listening. Peace out and 06.